Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
So what are we talking about today, Archit?
Today we're taking a dummy's guide on how to make the perfect home bar. We're going to show you the things that we use and the things that we wish we had when we started building our little bars at home. So let's get started.
All right. Quick one though. Have you been drinking at home?
Somewhat, not a whole lot, but here and there for sure.
And second follow-up question, have you started building your own bar or are you still stealing from your parents?
So given that I live with my parents, it's a little bit of like stealing, but I have my, like my own set of things that I like that I know when I move out of my house, which will be this year, I will be stealing or purchasing, but mostly stealing.
All right. Okay. I can start because I do have like a sort of tiny little bar at home. It never really stays full though. That's my problem. Like I will go out and buy fun gins when I'm traveling or fun whiskey or good wine, but then I'll have it. I'm not one of those people who will be like, oh, for guests only or for special occasions only. And I'll be like, Monday is a special occasion. All right, let's do this. Treat yourself. So that's a problem. And my first recommendation to all our listeners is, if you go and invest in something nice, please, for God's sake, save it for a rainy day. No, don't share it. Don't share it. It's fine. You don't have to share it. I mean, I wouldn't serve like my fanciest gins at a party. Maybe at like an intimate dinner with friends. But no, not otherwise. I mean, I've done that with you guys when you guys came over.
I remember when we had come over, you had just come from Singapore and you had bought these like really fancy chips and we opened one packet and by the end of it, we'd like finished like, I think a good amount of the chips that you had gotten. And I was like feeling so sad and you were like, no, like this is how it gets over.
Yeah. Am I generous towards myself and also others? It is a lose-lose. But that's the point. I think number one is every time you travel or every time you have the opportunity and the willingness to spend, definitely try new stuff out because we're really lucky now. We have so many different types of spirits available in Delhi NCR and of course all over India. So definitely taking advantage of that is recommendation number one. Not finishing them on your own is recommendation number two. And having a good mix of spirits is recommendation number three. And I'm going to hand over to you, Archit, to talk about that mix of spirits. Because, like, honestly, right now, I don't practice what I preach. I only have gin in my house. So.
Yeah, I mean, gin is also probably the one thing that I drink the most. But there are a bunch of drinks that I like to keep, or at least is there always in our bar. So, you know, there is always some amount of vodka. Vodka is just like clear, it's kind of good for most cocktails and it's just a great like accoutrement to have. There's of course gin. There's definitely gin and there's very like varied like varieties of gin that I also have. And like you said, right, like whenever we travel we pick up a bottle of gin. Duty frees are great to pick up alcohols because you get such a good variety. And also like places that produce certain spirits, so like Goa has the most number of gins and beers, but you can't really carry beers as much, but you can carry gins back.
But so listen, now they've been asking if you've got alcohol in your check-in baggage, so is it not allowed? Is that the case?
It's allowed, you just have a limit. I think it's still 2 liters and you can still carry it, like they won't say anything about it. So that's one other cocktail, or spirit that I usually keep. The third one, I mean, there are like five, right? So like the third one's tequila, because tequila is just a fun time. And my dad makes really good margaritas, so I'm gonna talk about that in our next episode as well.
They're so we'll good, and like he promised me a skinny version next time, so I was like, this should be
he doesn't remember that, but you may. Then I really like rum as a just like a spirit to have, and the cheapest rum is the best rum, so like Old Monk, just have a bottle.
Old Monk is definitely very, very good. There's no comparison.
It's just like it's almost like nostalgic, and that's why it's good. It's not like inherently a very good rum. And then last that I have always had is like a whiskey, because one, my dad drinks whiskey, but also like if you have anyone coming to your house above the age of like 40, they will always ask for a whiskey. So it's just one of those things that like if you ever have an adult, house. it's rare to not see a whiskey drinker who's you know, in a party, at least that's at that age.
That's for sure.
So these are the essentials that I like to keep.
Okay. I also have a lot of, I want to call it shoulder content, because today was a working day and I'm still a little bit in work mode. But a lot of these sister spirits or liqueurs that actually really help me take my cocktail game a little bit further, because I'm not a mixologist. Let me just put it out there. So if any bartenders are listening and I've already become like super offended, please forgive me. I do not claim to be one of you. I'm not trained. But I'm very good at drinking. So there I can compete with you, but not on the other stuff. But I think a good bar, in my opinion, at home, really requires some of these like add-on, I don't know if I call them spirits or liqueurs, but whatever, add-on things which really help you make a drink better. So for example, I always try to have Kahlua at home. I find that it converts any, you know, like any gin-based cocktail into like this almost sweet, you know, chocolatey slash coffee-y. It feels like a wakey. And other than that, I've also tried Amaro, and I've tried to substitute like different kinds of, you know, like sherries or whatever in different cocktails with Amaro. And it actually works really well, because basically anything that's super sweet and has like a flavor that is distinct, like whether it's cherries or it's coffee or almonds, excellent. And it also, you know, you can serve it as like, you know, like a good night drink as well. So it becomes like a little nightcap. So I think that really helps. And always having a few things that you can add to a basic drink, other than liqueurs, of course, is also very helpful in my opinion. So olives. Having olives and olive brine will help you make the sexiest dirty martini at home. And I do that pretty often. I will not tell you how often. Having jalapenos around also makes a huge difference, because then you can just pop a couple into the drink, as well as like a little bit of the brine again. It gives you a kick. And then, of course, your salt. So I have this lavender sea salt, which is really pretty. Wow. It's purple. Lavender, actually, not purple. And I use it sometimes to rim a glass. And it instantly makes my guest feel like, oh, this is like, you know, a treat. And then I, of course, have tahin, which I have with everything from mangoes to oranges to gin to tequila. And again, that completely changes the vibe. So like how when it comes to food, we talk about plating, we talk about making it look pretty. Just that one extra step, I find, makes people really, really like, all right, I feel like I'm being taken care of here. So even if you're like, and I did that, did this for you guys, right? When I put a stick of cinnamon inside one of your drinks, and it instantly takes the mood up, and it's just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I feel it like, also like shows effort, right? Like it's just it's like a step up from what you expect to get, kind of a situation. Yeah. And it also like elevates, honestly, the entire...
I'm not paying 800 rupees for a cocktail anymore. So this is the closest I get to that bar feeling. It's ridiculous.
Have you watched that Drink Master show? the Netflix.
No, you guys told me to, but I haven't really got around to it.
I think that's like homework for you to do, like before the next couple of episodes that we're doing. And like just for everyone else as well, like we're thinking that the first 3 to 4 episodes of the season will be focused on just like bars in general, but like more focused on different spirits. And this episode is really focused on that bar scenario. And like
home
how you
bar
get that
scenario.
Home bar scenario, yes. Mm-hmm. So I think you should listen to like watch that show, because they like take up these like big, really well-known bartenders, and they give them like challenges, and they have like anywhere between like an hour to 2 hours to make a drink. But the kind of drinks they make are just next level, like crazy cocktails. Like, you know, they would take milk and put alcohol in it and then strain it to make something called milk punch. So it's a sweeter version of the alcohol you're drinking, and you can have it straight up. And it's really, really
good. Sounds a bit shady though. Like I've heard of milk washes, and I've heard of like peanut butter washes. Yeah. And so let's get one of these, okay, not the people in the Netflix show, but like one of the experts that we bring on board, let's like surprise them with this question and be like, all right, tell us if it's worth the hype. Because I haven't tried like a peanut butter washed whiskey or whatever. And I would love to know. And good point. Thank you for the hot tip. Last secret ingredient before I pass on to you with kind of like a tough question, because it's a little technical. You spoke of garnishes and I mentioned cinnamon, but do you remember when we were in Turkey and I insisted that we pick up all of that like dried fruit, dehydrated fruit, dehydrated pineapple, figs, all of that? Major hit on Diwali. Major hit on Diwali. So like just getting checked it. You get dehydrated fruit here as well. Putting it into a drink, it just changes everything. Like it actually gives you a different flavor and makes a big difference. And if you have like a bottle of gin, like, you know, very basic gin that doesn't have too much character of its own, like a very neutral gin, like say greater than, and you want to take it up a notch, infuse it. Infuse it with cinnamon. Infuse it with your blue bee flowers, rosemary, pepper, whatever you want to do. And this I actually learned when I got the gin festival gin infusion kit. It was sent to me.
Yeah.
And I tried out infusions and pretty cool. And you can get all of this stuff on Amazon. You don't need to buy a kit for it. You can just get it on Amazon. Go according to what you're looking for. So then all of a sudden you have a bar which not only has all of the different spirits that you mentioned, but also the liqueurs. It has some garnishes and it has like novelty spirits. Maybe you can name them, you can label them, and they just look unusual. And again, like the idea is to get into the zone and like feel like you're creating a fancy bar experience at home. And these little touches, in my opinion, make all the difference. But what also helps, and this is on you, are having the right tools to actually create magic. So can you help me understand what kind of tools are essential for a home bar? And we're not going to go into like the fancy stuff because we'll have the experts for it. But tell me, what do you need in a home bar? And don't say bottle opener, because I will throw something at you.
Actually, bottle opener is a great tool, by the way. It really saves you from like chipped wood furniture and chipped teeth. So definitely like get one. But okay, apart from that, like there are just a few, because I think most things that you need, if you think about what you're doing in a home bar, you're largely, you know, yes, you can do infusions and all, but you're largely like creating very like super fluid, viscous mixtures with variety of different spirits going into either water or carbonation or some sort of like water and alcohol mixture. So you don't really need a lot of different equipment to kind of get those things mixing together, because it's not like oil and water where it requires a lot more like agitation for that to happen.
Agitation.
So, I mean, the tool required to mix water and oil is, I think, called an agitator, but I could be wrong.
Sounds really angry and would love to have some fast facts about that, but for next time.
Or it could be called an emulsifier. I don't know. It could be both.
And so, salad dressings, emulsifiers.
So so I think for mixing cocktails, like a nice cocktail shaker could be really good, but also like any like big mason jar does the work. As long as it's like sealable and it has a strong like airtight seal, it will work. Having that is really good. Having ice is always good to have, and having like ice cubes, ice cube trays and things like that, because those are things that we don't naturally always think of. But those are things
I think about ice all the time, all the time, for my Diet Coke, for my iced Americano, for my drinks. Like, who doesn't think about ice?
Maybe we'll start a culture. You know, we'll start a culture of saying, let's talk about ice. Maybe that's another episode we can do, is ice.
Go into cult kind of like fraud territory, but sure.
The real fraud territory is clear ice. If you've heard like people talk about clear ice, oh, that's next level.
It's pretty. I've also heard of stamped ice and like, you know, huge blocks, really perfect, everything. But like, I'm not interested. It's all gonna melt anyway. So,
So that's one. Like a mixer is going to be important. The second one that I think is really fascinating is just like that long spoon that you have, a bar spoon, because those are swivel spoons. So the idea is that you can actually like pour your drink through the swivel of the spoon, and it goes down pretty easily.
What do you mean by
that? So if you've seen that spoon, it actually is like it has a spiral pattern on it.
Oh, no. I don't usually accost the bartender and be like, let me see your spoon.
So when you see one, when you search for it online, you'll see that it's a spiral shape. And what that does is that you can actually pour alcohol, like aim it towards the spoon, and the spoon will guide it down into your drink. And that just helps in like mixing it together a lot easier, especially for drinks where you want to create like gradations, right? Like a Long Island iced tea, those things won't really mix, and they create like this nice little band. And that band is typically created with a spoon like that. So that's a really good tool to keep. And I really like tiny strainers, like tiny whisks and strainers.
Because you like tiny, all these tools. You just want a miniature kitchen, right? That's what you want in life.
No, not always. Like, you require size for certain things, but certain things are fine with tinier objects. So, a tiny whisk does a lot of work, because it's easier to clean, but second, it can get to places that others can't. And then the second is
are we speaking about whisks for real? Are you sure?
Yeah. Whisks, like, okay, you cool. know, like, just, yeah.
Yeah, I know what a whisk is. Thank you.
And
you're disgusting.
Just like, you know, those sieves, like a sieve, but not like a chai patti wala sieve, but like a nice like conical sieve is really nice for like the smaller glasses and the dainty ones, because they like funnel the liquid down towards the bottom of the glass, as compared to like just splattering it everywhere.
My god, you really have thought about this a lot. I have to say, hats off.
Yeah, and one other thing actually that is such a guilty pleasure, but is something that I really like, is a zester, and specifically like the microplane zester, because those are great to like, you know, get citrus notes out of like the zest, and then do nutmegs and other spices. You can like really do really fine work with that, and even like shave chocolate or something. So those are always
glasses. I mean, we haven't talked about glasses yet, but they make all the difference, don't they? Like, having fun glasses is again something that's going to totally elevate the experience. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are some rules about this cocktail in that glass for a reason. And I mean, we'll get into it with the experts, but like, I know of a few. For me, it's been a game changer, like having those, how do you call them? The little coupe? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, coupe glasses.
Yeah, those have been great. And also the story behind them is that they were supposed to be for champagne drinking. And they were shaped after Marie Antoinette's boobs. Yeah. The perfect... Boobs? Boobs. Breasts.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was like, yeah. What boot looks like that?
Yeah, so we should...
Overall, we've covered a good number of things for a dummy's guide, which is essentially going to be like the first... We hope that this is like the first entry to someone developing a bar. But of course, there are so many other ways to kind of, you know, go your own path. And what we'll do is that with this episode, we can even put down like question answers in the bottom of our episode so people can answer how they've developed their bar. Hopefully we can like share those stories on upcoming episodes.
Yeah, maybe we can get a couple of voice notes and like play them. Let's do that this time. When you said dummies, a joke that came to my mind, which would be, it would be rude of me not to share it.
Sure.
It's like this episode is for dummies and by dummies. Haha. Cheers.
You know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you did say this for one of our other episodes.
Oh my God. I am such a genius. Connecting the dots and everything.
I don't think it ever got recorded in that one because it was just like the start of the conversation.
All right. Okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us. After so long, we've had fun recording. And honestly, now, I think, Archit, I speak for both of us. We're both in the mood for a drink, a midweek treat. Yeah. So maybe we're going to go do that. And we'll be back super soon with lots of new recipes, lots of new tips and tricks and expert voices. Experts who are not dummies, unlike us. So thank you for listening. And please do share this with your partner or your family or anyone that you want to build a home bar with. And if you live alone, then with your cat.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.